It's time now for our regular Common Health segment. Today, we're going to hear about what's called sundowning.
That's a term hospital staffs use to describe some elderly patients who behave erratically at night.
Here to tell us more is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hello there, Carrie.
Hello, Deb. Hey, Anthony.
Hey.
So, Carrie, your headline on Common Health is sundowning makes hospital staffs dread nightfall. What is sundowning?
That's right. So basically, sundowning is when hospital or nursing home patients, almost always elderly patients, are hit by a form of delirium. They start acting out when it gets dark out. And the author of our post, Dr. David Scales, is a third-year resident in internal medicine at Cambridge Health Alliance. He shares some really vivid anecdotes of what sundowning can look like.
So I've seen some patients that seem pretty normal during the day, but come nightfall, they just seemed out of their mind. Sometimes they might throw things, become agitated, or get really suspicious that the hospital staff was out to get them. Thankfully, it's not always so profound as that. Sometimes people just get a little bit more agitated and confused as twilight approaches. But however it appears, it can get really, really traumatizing for families or even the patient that's experiencing it, just to go through such a profound behavioral change.
That sounds pretty awful for everyone involved.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, even beyond those stories, Deb, Dr. Scales has post-prompted this outpouring of sundowning stories from readers, hundreds of comments actually on Facebook, with really disturbing tales of like these sweet older patients who suddenly, after dark, start lashing out when, like, through a heavy telephone at a nurse. They might scream or yell. It's completely out of character. They become convinced the hospital staff has killed their parents or is out to steal their money. And then the day shift shows up and the patient seems normal again.
So do we know what causes sundowning?
Well, that's exactly what David Scales looked into for his post. And after talking to leading experts, he said there's a lot we don't know.
Some experts point to a dizzying array of possible biological factors, things like stress hormones, body clocks, neurotransmitters, maybe melatonin and inflammation can all be a part of this.
But it really remains a pretty deep mystery. What we do know is that there are contributing factors in the environment aside from the time of day that can tip someone into sundowning. For example, it clearly doesn't help to be in an unfamiliar hospital with bright fluorescent lights and alarm bells going off at all hours. And maybe, you know, you're older, you don't see or hear well, but you don't have your glasses or your hearing aid on. That's the kind of thing that can tip someone, even a normal person, into acting delirious.
And do we know, Carrie, how many people this affects?
We really, really don't. And part of that is because there's still so much debate about where's the line between sundowning and just delirium. The estimates range all the way from like 2% to maybe 66% of elderly people who are in a hospital or a nursing home setting. But what we do know is that sundown syndrome, as the expert call it, pretty much only happens in elderly people and most likely in people with advanced memory loss, like if you have bad Alzheimer's disease. And experts think we're not detecting up to maybe 70% of all the cases, though other times it can be unmistakable, like night falls and a patient just gets agitated or confused, might even hallucinate.
So what can be done about sundowning? And is it true, Carrie, that some medications can make it worse?
Definitely, like sleeping pills and pain medications can make it worse. You know, one thing is very clear. It's that it's a lot better to prevent sundowning than to try to deal with it once it hits. So experts have designed special protocols for delirium that aim to help prevent sundowning. And they involve actually a lot of commonsensical measures like keeping patients well hydrated, well fed, and avoiding those medications that can cause confusion. And also, this is an obvious one, trying to keep the noise down so that patients can sleep.
Well, those seem really obvious. Yeah. Aren't those already routine? Everywhere?
Well, you know, you would think so, but a lot of them take time and staffing, and that means money. And it can be hard for hospitals or nursing homes to get paid for something that doesn't happen.
So what can families do to help loved ones avoid sundowning? Or what advice does Dr. Scales have for the patients, for the elderly patients?
Well, we have a whole set of tips at the end of our Common Health post online, but I asked Dr. Scales to sum them up, and he says the key is to try to make hospital environments more familiar, more friendly, and kind of gentler places overall.
So bringing in pictures of family or other objects that the patient knows can often be helpful. Also, kind of rather than doing something like a sleeping pill if someone's having trouble sleeping, trying to find other natural ways to sleep, like herbal tea or soothing music, some studies suggest that doing just one thing just isn't going to be enough, like turning off the TV or taking off a heart monitor. That can help, but it's just you need the whole package to make it work.
And Carrie, I imagine that it must be helpful to let medical workers know that this phenomenon seems to be happening with the patient as well.
Right, because if you have a loved one or a relative in the hospital, you might be the first person to know that they're acting strangely. The hospital staff might have no idea what's normal for them or if they're delirious. So you just letting the staff know what to expect can be a really valuable first step.
All right, Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to the Common Health post on sundowning at radioboston.org. Carrie, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Carrie. Stay with us. Coming up, homeschooling in Massachusetts. Who's choosing it and how it's changing? I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.